Hey guys, this is Wade with Wade for Wireless. And today, let me fix my mic here. Today, it was a sad weekend. We lost another climber, which apparently I didn't see in the news anywhere until Wireless Estimator broke it. Thank God for Wireless Estimator. I mean, they broke the story. We lost a tower painter in Stockton, Illinois, and it's very sad, and I just want to remember him. His name was Thomas Lucas. May you rest in peace. So, ninth fatality of 2014, and I pray this is the last one. Don't want any more. It's a shame there have to be. It's a shame it had to be one more. So, in the blog, I put some tower painting videos there to honor him. I was just trying to be respectful. So, I'll move on. So, this week, what I wanted to cover was near miss stories. I had something else planned with fines, but I thought I'd keep it short and sweet this week with the near-miss stories, because I got quite a few stories, and I tried to put three of them up. I just thought it was easy. So I thought it would be fun if we went through them, because it's always fun to talk about stories, and it's a lessons learned type of thing. That's my goal here, is that we learn a lesson. You know, I don't want you guys just thinking, some of you guys get nervous with these lessons learned, and I don't know why. Because if you're out at the tower, and I did get a good response. It's nice that you guys got to me on Facebook and on my comments, section where you can send me comments on the blog. And I do appreciate it. But to be clear, the reason for that is to teach other climbers by expressing the mistakes that we made and trying to show them that, you know, we made this mistake and everything was okay, but don't do it again. And sometimes things just happen. You know, you just talk about the stories, or the one in here, you know, the guy was just picking up some tools and, you know, that something hit him. Sometimes it's just bad luck. You know, it just happens. Some of them are just a miscalculation, or you trust the guy on the tower and he's just wrong. Sometimes you just need to take a little more time and evaluate things. Sometimes it's the end of the day and you just want to get done. You know, there's a lot of reasons. So with that said, just going to get into it. So, but I would like to thank you guys for your feedback and the response. I really appreciate it. And like I said, you know, I'm not going to put any names in here. So the first one, the guy, he's an older fella apparently, because he used a hemp rope. I don't know if you guys, like, I remember using hemp ropes. That was a big deal, because hemp was the, that was what we used back then to, as rope. It was made out of hemp. I don't know if you guys know that, you know, hemp, marijuana, whatever, but the old hemp ropes were pretty good ropes. You know, they lasted a long time. They were really strong, but they tend to fray a lot. That was the problem with them. So now everything's nylon. You know, they use nylon ropes for everything. So what happened was they were using a hemp rope, which is probably not the best rope at the time, but they had it, they thought they'd use it, and they were going to drop a dish. So to set the picture, it's a self-supporting tower. And for those of you that don't know, self-supporting towers get fatter at the bottom. So they thought they'd drop a dish to save time. They didn't have a tagline. Why they didn't have a tagline, I don't know. It was a 10-foot dish with a heavy, heavy mount. Probably a 6-inch pipe mount, and then all the clamps and all the steel that goes along with it probably weighed a lot, a couple hundred pounds. For whatever reason, they thought they'd just drop it. So, of course, got it on the rope. They get it. They loosen everything up, take it off. Rope holds. Push it out away from the tower. The climber does. Remember, just one climber in the tower. And they start to drop it. And I guess they thought it would ride down the tower. I don't know. It was probably on a leg. So they probably thought it'd ride down. Of course, it didn't. It snagged. They tried to pull it up. What happens? Rope snaps. Rope snaps. Dish goes down. You know, riding the tower. I think it actually fell inside the tower. And if you ever saw the self-supporter towers, you know, it probably snagged, caught in a cross member, fell on the inside, which is amazing it fell at all. At least it didn't snag and hang there or take a cross member off. You know, they were actually pretty lucky. And, of course, when the dish fell, it hit hard, flattened part of the dish. What are you going to do? The damage is done. So, luckily, they didn't want to reuse the dish. I don't know what the dish was for, but they didn't want to reuse the dish. So dish is ruined, okay? It's flat on one side. You know, it looks like a half circle, a semicircle. So they just cleaned it up, said no one was hurt, went home. At the end of the day, everyone's happy. Except, oh, and they took the dish in for scrap. So that's how they got out of it. But no one was hurt. But it's probably pretty stupid, right? Should have tagged it. Probably should have used a nylon rope, not a hemp rope. And apparently the rope couldn't, they didn't think about the load. They could have taken the dish off and then the mount, and they just took it all off at once. That's what I'm reading into it. So, sort of funny. So the other one, just this past Friday, story number two, guy was telling me, wrote me a story about where he was working at a raw land site where the tower had been stacked the previous day. So he and another guy, a rookie this time, were shaking down the tower, and they had gone up and down, done a tape drop. And he was tightening up the legs. He says one leg's gusset and a center stitch. And the guy with him had helped stack the previous day. Did a great job, 100% tied off, climbed well, didn't drop any tools, kept his hands out of the pinch zones, and listened to direction from the crew chief very well, which is a good thing, right? So things are going good. The stack went awesome. He went up, tightened down another leg on the stitch. Got down to the 40-foot mark, and this time I was going through the hardware to see what was left to organize the next crew coming to fly waveguide and build a carrier site. There was some hardware in the pier at the base of the tower, and without hesitation, I went to gather it up. At that moment, he slipped while standing on the two downward diagonals on the and the spud socket wrench he was using came free. Of course, it went right down, hit the guy on the ground. The guy on the ground's picking tools up, you know, bent over. Hit him in the back, just below his shoulder blade, from 40 foot. So imagine 40 foot down, this thing fell. It landed socket end first, and the alignment pin slapped down after. And the guy was lucky. He was bruised. Nothing was broken. He's fine. But it's just one more thing. You know, you're picking up tools. You're not paying attention because the guy had a great day. Right when you're bent over looking at the ground, you're not paying attention, something bad happens. Sucks. Just the way it is, you know. It's just bad luck, guys. All I can say is pay attention. Maybe wait to pick up the tools. Or while you're picking up the tools, look down, look up, look down, look up. It's a pain in the butt, but sometimes you just have bad luck like that. The guy in the tower should have yelled headache if he knew what was going on. But when you slip on a tower, you're just thinking about holding on. So, you know, I get it. Guy was more worried about holding on. He didn't want to fall. I mean, what would you do? You gonna hold on, yelling headache, headache, headache? If you're trained, you probably would do that after you have some experience. So that's the end of that story. Nobody's hurt. Everybody's fine. All's well that ends well. So story number three. There were a two-man crew, which, you know, this this could go either way. So they loosened the mount with a two-man crew, thinking that the mount and the antenna would not be too heavy. You know, and now, he didn't say this here, but the reality is it sounds like it wasn't tied off and they didn't have a winch, okay? So the guy on the ground must have just been holding it. And the other thing I'm taking from this, he must have had a block on the ground and a block in the air, or a block down low and a block up high. Down low so they could probably pull straight out instead of being lifted off the ground. So here, I'm going to read it. The hardware was tight and it took a long time to take off. Well, as soon as he took off the last, Susie took the last mount off, the load was so heavy that the guy on the ground pulled into the block on the ground. So I figure they have a block on the bottom of the tower. He couldn't hold it, and we both tried to slow it down, but they couldn't do it. So they both had bloody hands. All they could do is keep it, drop it slow. So it sounds like they were trying to, you know, slow it down. They're holding on. I don't know if they didn't say any detail, but I'm assuming, yeah, they both had bloody hands at the end of the day. So they said we got lucky, just a couple of bloody hands, but no real injuries. A bad day we walked away from. So they had a bad day. They had bloody hands. So you can imagine if they had gloves on, it ate through the gloves. If they didn't have gloves on, you know, they had bloody hands regardless. So just a bad day. What do you do? But I can see guys doing that. You know, you don't know how heavy the load is. You say, it's just a pipe, couple pipes, an antenna, whatever. So they drop it. They take it off. They take the clamps off. Next thing you know, it comes down. And what do? Do you let go? Do you hold on? They didn't say if it's self-support or a guide tower. I don't know if it fell straight down or what happened. But no matter what happened, that's a bad day. It dropped down. I can only imagine, you know, the damage. And it doesn't sound like it hit anything. In fact, they say they're busted the antenna but didn't hit anything on the ground. They got lucky. So that's a good day in a way. You go home, you got bloody hands. But when you look at the big picture, you realize that you're a lot better off because nobody was hurt. Everything fell fine. Didn't hit anything on the ground because it's a really bad day when you destroy some other people's equipment. Let me put it that way. When you're taking something off the tower and you have to reuse it, that's a bad day too because obviously you don't want to destroy it. So, three quick stories just there for you. Next week, I hope to do something on the fines, the FCC fines and the OSHA fines, Department of Labor. And just a quick note about that. I was doing a little research on the fines. And you know what? The FCC and OSHA dish out, and Department of Labor, I should say, but OSHA. The FCC and OSHA dish out a lot of fines. They really do. You know, it's interesting when you look through all the fines they divvy out. Now, the FCC spread really thin. Because they cover a multitude of issues, as does the Department of Labor. Department of Labor spread really thin. OSHA, I mean, they have to look at all the industries, they have to look at all the accidents. And I was on their website looking at everything and all the fatalities, you know. I mean, we are worried. The tower industry, I think, is one of the worst percentage-wise. Per climber, it seems like it's one of the highest, especially the past 2 years. But they have to deal with injuries across all the, let's say all the jobs out there, all the job types. It's really sad that so many people get hurt. You just can't believe it. And we're much better off than we were. You know, things were much worse years ago. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to do these near-miss stories is because I think it's very important that we share stories among climbers. And I got a lot of feedback saying, you know, who would do this? This is a waste of time. A lot of guys just feel like you shouldn't share this. And, you know, if we don't, who will? Let me ask you that. So what your expectation is for when you don't want to share these stories is that you just want your rookie to go out there and learn from the people on the site, which is fine if you have experienced people on the site. And the feedback I'm getting there is, well, there aren't enough experienced people on the site. And so here's a dilemma. You don't want to share it on here. You don't think I should talk about it or anybody should talk about it. You know, how are you going to teach these people? I want everyone to go to class, but the reality of it is when you go to class, let's say you have a 1 day, 2 day, or 3 day class, you only have so much time to learn. You hope you can share the stories. You hope you learn from everything. But when you're on a site with another climber or with another crew or with somebody and you have an idea how to do something, it's a discussion. And if you have an older climber, he'll give you the best way to do it based on his experience. And the way he gained his experience was by the mistakes he made. Let me tell you something. All you guys out there in the site, the best way to learn is through mistakes. Unfortunately, the worst way to learn is through bad mistakes because you're going to get hurt. There could be bad things that happen. So what do? I'd say the best way to learn is through somebody else's mistake. Again, experience, mentorship, training, and the longer you're out there, the more you learn. So what I mean by that is when you go out to a tower site and you're going to do a job, if you have someone experienced that you can talk to run it by, that's a big plus. So they're going to teach you how to do it based on their past experience, which could involve mistakes or procedures that they've used or anything like that. So the point here is that we learn from other people's mistakes. That's the key. That's why we study. That's why we review things. That's why we have discussions. That's why we have tailgate meetings. That's why we plan things out in advance. We do the best that we can. And when you have an estimator that's estimating something, you hope they have some experience with it. They may or may not. But when you're out there on the site and you got to do the work, you're going to know what it takes. If you don't know, you're hoping somebody on that site knows, and you're going to do the best you can to put everything together and make it happen within that time allocated. If it's going to take you longer, chances are on day one, you're going to let somebody know it's going to take 3 or 4 days or a week instead of 2 days like they estimated. So that's where we learn from experience. That's the key to making everyone better through experience. So I'm trying to understand why nobody, why some guys feel that they don't think anybody should share these experiences. And yet they get mad when somebody gets hurt at a site because they didn't have the experience. Listen, people, we have to balance everything out here. It's a team effort. Team effort. I'm going to tell you a story about years ago when we went out to do something. I used to talk with, they weren't necessarily the competition. They were a contractor, but we used different crews. But this guy, whether he won the job or not, and I haven't talked to him in a while. I don't want to use his name, but he was very open. So he would get mad because we'd come to him and he'd say, you know, you're asking me for how to do a job on a job that I didn't win. So you can do the work without me. And we'd say, yeah, but I mean, really, we want to do it safely. And he was still nice enough, still generous enough to tell us how to do it. Now, this guy we used mostly for tower construction. He was outstanding at construction. He was just high priced for hanging a dish, and that's just reality of the business. But he was a good man. But he would tell us how to do different things and teach us, and we did use him for a lot of work. He won a lot of work, but it's just some things that were smaller jobs he didn't get. And I think he got a little frustrated that he didn't always get to work, but I get it. I would be too. But in the industry, we tend to help each other. And you know what? That's one thing, whether you guys like it or not, I see between a lot of business people and a lot of technical people. I've seen engineers, field engineers, especially tower climbers, that are willing to share stories and be pretty open with each other. They're willing to talk about their past experiences. And I worked for this one company one time that didn't want to share anything, which is fine. You know, I get the mentality because they feel everyone's going to steal your idea. Let me tell you something. Stealing an idea and making it happen are two different things. Most of these field deployments are very similar. And if we can help each other deploy in one way or another, make things more efficient, make things better, I think it's all for the greater good. I really do. And I hate to say it, but with groups like the PCIA, with Nate, I had one more on the tip of my tongue. I can't think who it is. But with groups like that, you know, they want to share experiences. I mean, they're out there for the greater good. Now, they're getting their money from mostly the carriers, or Nate's getting it from the tower companies, PCIA from the carriers, let's say. But the reality is they want to share experiences, safety tips, and things like that to make it a safer place out there. The FCC, and I'm going to do something with a lot of information I got from the FCC on RF safety. They really do a lot of research. I wish they would quote more, but they do put papers out. I've shared a lot of the papers, the PDFs, and things that you guys should probably be glossing over at one point or another. They're there to help. That's why I want to do something on the FCC fines, because the FCC is really trying to make it safer for the wireless worker. They're doing much more than you think they are. Some of the smartest guys I ever worked with were at the FCC. Now, I know some of you guys are going to point out the opposite examples, and I'm not saying, you know, there aren't some klutzes there, but look at where you work. I mean, where you work, do you have some brilliant guys and then have some complete idiots? I mean, really, you got a range. It's just the way it is. So, and I met a few guys from OSHA, and I think one thing with OSHA, they got a bad rap in the past because when they came around, you were scared to work because you just felt like you were going to get a fine. Now it's the opposite. Now you can't get them to come around to look at violations. It's funny how things have changed in a decade. You know, I look at 10 years ago, you know, OSHA was just sort of out looking for problems. And now you're trying to get OSHA to come out and look at things, and they just don't have the manpower. Of all the things for the government to cut, I think worker safety is probably the worst one. I mean, I get it. They're trying to cut the budget. But when you look at what they spend their money on, anyways, that's another discussion. That's more politics. But my point is here, the more experiences we can share, the more information we can share, the better off we all are. If I could start a group, and if, I mean, I see it on Facebook a little bit, but I would like to have something where we could share like installation or deployment or engineering experiences that would really help everybody out. I hear guys all the time ask me about climbing and such, but there's more to it, you know, than just climbing. You know, there's the engineering, the site survey, the design, the checkups, the quality assurance, things like that. All that plays into this. And this poor guy last weekend, you know, he was a tower painter. That's something that you just can't believe something went wrong. And I hope, I'm looking forward to OSHA's report on this just to see what went wrong. I mean, I just don't understand. It's so sad because tower painters, you know, they're just doing their job, and it's just frustrating. That's something, I don't know. It's just sad, that's all. It's not the first one. It won't be the last, unfortunately. But anyway, back to the point. If we can share lessons learned, like these near misses, things where somebody didn't get hurt, those are things that we can talk about openly, freely, and things we can joke about. That's my goal here. So I want you to know that this is something we can really make a difference. So if you read the blog, again, for the tower painter, I put a bunch of videos in there in honor of him. They're tower painter videos. I did the best I could with them. And Peak Career Services is having a job fair. They're looking for entry-level tower technicians, and the training's free. They have a one-week training program at no cost. The links are in there. It's peakpci.com. Peak is P as in Paul, E-A-K, P as in Paul, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo, peakpci.com. So if you guys get a chance, I mean, if you're entry level and you want to get into this, there's a good way to get into it. It's a week free training, or if you guys want to evaluate what they're doing, go ahead and take a look. The last thing I'm going to leave off with, 9 fatalities so far in 2014. It's August, guys. 9. It's very sad. So let's do something about it. Let's start sharing experiences. Let's start working to keep the industry as safe as it can possibly be, okay? I know it's not news that you like to hear. I know most of you are busy, especially this time of year, because you got a lot of work. It's a very busy time of year that everybody's working, which is a good thing. We all like the work. But let's take the time to help each other out, okay? Let's take the time to make the industry safer. Let's take the time to share knowledge with the industry. Let's take the time to share the thoughts on what we can and cannot do. All right, guys, I want you to work with a plan. I want you to take those tailgate meetings seriously. I want you to have your safety plan ready for every site you go on. If you're doing site design, it'd be a good time to start thinking about how you're going to make the site safe. I'm not saying you have to come up with a plan, use site survey people, but it would be a good time for you to point out hazards. Maybe we should start there. For all you tower owners, the more tie-off points we have, the better we are. You might want to start thinking about adding tie-off points. And for all you climbers, be safe. Be very safe. Be smart. Be smart about what you're doing and pay attention. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to the plan and pay attention to the end result. All right, guys, take care.